Hey everybody, it's Product Hunt Radio. My name is Ryan Hoover.
I'm Eric Tornberg.
And we're here with special guest.
Wow, special guest.
Special.
David Lipsky. I'm a deputy editor at Fast Company Magazine.
All the way from New York.
All the way from New York. I'm excited that I don't know if I am the person who's traveled the farthest to be on the podcast or the oldest person to be on the podcast or the most overdressed person to be on the podcast.
You are wearing a tie right now. I'm pretty impressed.
Some superlative that I hopefully can get right off the bat with this one.
Yeah. So we've talked a lot. In fact, you interviewed me before our funding announcement, actually. Yeah, you wrote a really great piece at Fast Company.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Actual writing.
Well, what? Tell the lovely viewers or listeners rather. We're kind of rusty, as you can tell. It's been a couple weeks since we've done this podcast thing. Mm-hmm. Where am I? I don't even know.
You're going to Tokyo soon, man. Get your head in the game.
I know. I'm not even jet lagged yet. Wait till I'm jet lagged, then I won't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Tell us about what you work on, David.
Sure. So my primary job is to develop feature stories for Fast Company, which I hope you're familiar with, but if not, I guess the shortest way to describe it would be, we're magazine and website and events for about ideas and innovation that are changing business and the culture. And so recently I worked on the story that actually came out today about Tristan Walker and what it's like to be African-American in Silicon Valley. Worked on a profile last month of Max Levchin, actually also in the same issue with the Tristan Walker story. I worked on a story about sort of Snapchat and brand's relationship with Snapchat, and sort of, basically kind of how these platforms, are most interesting to marketers, before there's an ad widget for them to buy. And, and sort of use this example of, one of the Snapchat stars, a guy named Sean Duras,
Remind me, is that the guy I saw a video of that has thousands and thousands of followers on Snapchat?
He's one of their super stars, whatever, on Snapchat. Yeah. He's one of them. So I do other stories that aren't tech related as well. I also run our most innovative companies franchise, every year. And I've worked there since 2004, so that's a long time. And but it's fun. I get to learn about new stuff, what's not to like.
Yeah. What's your favorite thing to write about? Is there anything that stands out?
Well, I mean, I think, I feel like, and this does connect to sort of, it's, how I use Product Hunt, which we can get to, but, I definitely like to sort of look for things that, are sort of kind of hiding in plain sight. Mm-hmm. And so, I think one example is I'm really proud of, the stories we've done about YouTube in the last several years, and that, I think because YouTube, is owned by Google, and sort of people kind of forget, just how insanely massive it is, and that if it were, independent, that it would basically be, right there on par with Facebook in terms of, users and, maybe, valuation, as well. And so, we were really the first sort of magazine to realize wow, they had kind of sort of figured this out and were making, money, and had really, kind of, turned this thing around and built this really interesting, community, and, that was, I guess the story ran, or almost 4 years ago. It was early 2011. And then, sort of been able to follow that story, and sort of check in on it, a couple of times. Most recently did a feature, I guess, in September on, Susan Wojcicki and sort of the change she's making and sort of dealing with all the challenges of sort of everyone else now seeing the opportunity around, video and having to compete against, Facebook and maybe Twitter and, maybe Yahoo/Tumblr and whoever else. And so so something like that that's just sort of right there, and people know YouTube and sort of obviously know it from their experience of it, but don't necessarily realize just how,
it feels
how big it is and how global and important it is. And important to Google, too. And
it feels like plumbing in many ways. I mean, everyone uses YouTube, and whether you use your own custom player on your website because you want to look more professional, perhaps you are also on YouTube oftentimes because distribution.
Yeah.
That's where it is. That's where people search.
Right.
And Yeah,
and again, it's probably to Google, the largest search engine, you know, in the world, and it's also, you know, Google.
But right.
The, So, and I think, again, like, just because, you know, it's not, you know, independent, you know, I think people kind of forget about it. And, I mean, that seems to be changing a little bit. I think it's also, you know, been not hurt, but, you know, until Susan took over, you know, this year, 2014, you know, it was always sort of run by people who are maybe a little more introverted. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're not, you know, sort of actively kind of out courting, not necessarily the media, but just sort of, you know, generating a little more awareness and attention for, you know, what's happening there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I think that's why, like, see, you know, what was really fascinating to me was that, you know, I just sort of these narratives sort of form about companies. And, you know, for YouTube, it was always, you know, basically like, well, why don't, you know, like, you're losing a ton of money, and, like, why don't you have, you know, whatever, 30 Rock or whatever, you know, slightly dating the conversation, but
this is actually recorded in 2012.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You, and so, you know, and so the opportunity to, like, kind of take this thing that sort of had kind of built up over, you know, so much kind of just what's happening right now, you know, kind of coverage, and sort of be able to take a step back and really sort of see, you know, what was really happening. Like, that's the stuff that I think I kind of get most excited about, the chance to, like, sort of explain, you know, the world and the way that these, you know, these companies and products are really, right, changing our world in such a meaningful way, and, you know, that you often can just sort of take it for granted like that, you know, and then showing how it obviously then creates, like, a really interesting business is, you know, I mean, that's definitely what I like.
Yeah. Do you, Eric, do you watch video online? Do you watch Hulu, YouTube? Like, do you watch any TV online, any interesting new products by chance?
I don't watch a ton of TV online. If I saw the most recent South Park startup episodes, and that was directly through the startup site, through the South Park site.
Yes, yeah, they've been streaming those for free for a while now. Actually,
I think they might be starting to charge. I might have heard that somewhere, but it could be incorrect. But no, I haven't used.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if you watch
TV. You know, I've actually been using Pluto.tv. Is what I'm using a lot.
And I check that out. I mean, what do you really like about it? I mean, I tried to reach out to them and actually talk to the CEO who I covered a million years ago.
Yeah.
He's, like, been around forever. Guy named Nick Graf. But I mean, he worked on, like, a personalization technology way back when, like, you would have been in, you know, elementary school in, like, 1996 or something.
Yeah,
and,
pretty cool.
And then he had a startup that I wrote about in, like, 2006 that was called, like, Spot Runner. And it was basically, like, created, the idea was, and I'm sorry for, I'm talking about, like, failed startups from 8 years ago.
and that's the theme of the show.
that, you know, basically the idea was, hey, you know, you're a small business and you want to advertise, you know, like, on TV. You don't think you can, but you actually can because there are these, you know, like, the weird way the cable TV business works, you know, like, there's a minute of, like, local ads available in every hour or whatever, and you can buy them, like, super cheap. Like, you know, so if you want to be on ESPN at, like, 4 in the afternoon, you can buy a spot for, like, $30.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and so that was, like, a marketplace to help people, like, do that and then basically give them kind of a prefab ad, the idea being that, like, oh, you're, you know, hey, Nelson, you know, we can kind of, you know, we'll kind of give you a pre-roll and a
post-roll. Okay, so they don't have, like, a
that's like, here's your, you know, here's the actual business, but the ad was just kind of formatted. It was like, oh, well, who's going to know, you know, if you're in Omaha versus, you know, Wichita, you know, you're not, there's no way. And anyway, so, back to Pluto TV. The point is, good product guy, serial entrepreneur for, like, 2 decades. I think he came out of, like, MIT or whatever, you know, like, whatever.
Yeah, I don't know their background.
Stumble upon this. But, like, what do you like about Pluto TV? I mean,
well, so what I like about it is it actually goes back to the old times when you used to turn on the TV and you flip through channels.
Right.
And, you know, it seems really archaic, but I kind of miss it slightly. I kind of miss it the same way I miss browsing for movies at Blockbuster Video, which is really strange. There's something about it where it's just, like, kind of lean back experience. And, you know, when I go there, I usually go to, like, the startup, or, sorry, the stand-up channel. I really like stand-up comedy.
Yeah, me too.
But when I go to YouTube, I have to search for a specific stand-up comedian. They're usually 4 minutes long. When it's done, I have to now choose and think, okay, now I want to watch this one. So it's a lot of effort and thinking, and really what I want is just something either in the background or just something to veg out to. So Pluto, I just like how simple it is. And they also do have different channels that are kind of experimental and topic-based or theme-based. So you can kind of, like, just like our collections, like every day there could be a different channel and a different theme that's maybe relevant to what's going on in the world or something.
Yeah, I mean, I think right around the time they launched, which was,
probably a year ago?
Summer, or maybe, well.
It wasn't too long ago, but I mean, it was.
Yeah, I mean, it was 6 to 12 months.
Might be right.
Yeah, I don't have a sense of sort of how it's going, but But yeah, I mean, I've checked it out. I agree. I think it's an interesting, idea. Because right, I mean, you do have to kind of know what you want to watch it. I think YouTube, at least had it. There was a time where like YouTube was trying to do a little more with, sort of like, hey, here's what's happening that you need to be watching today.
Yeah.
And kind of got away from that, and I still feel like that was a mistake.
Yeah.
You know, that there are still people who are just like, you know what, I want to know, like, what's whatever, and maybe I'm missing it in my, Facebook or Twitter feed, and, I don't have the time to sort of keep up with every meme and whatever, but,
exactly.
you have thousands of people probably, so you can have, surely somebody could, sort of be that curator to do that. It's still a good idea. We'll see. I mean, I think, at this point, YouTube is sort of more focused on, I think both getting like companies to think about creating content, and then because then they're gonna have to buy advertising to get anybody to watch it, and sort of retaining their stars by offering them sort of money to do more ambitious programming, which is good. I think that's great.
And perhaps the way you got early and really covering YouTube, 4 years from now you might say about Product Hunt.
Late 2014, I still don't. I can't remember exactly, but I feel like I did. Honestly, I think I did first hear about the podcast, and I was like, "Wow, that sounds cool!" Like a podcast about new products. Like I would love to. Whatever. And of course, being a podcast nerd, I had to start. I think it was episode 2, but I had to start with episode 1. Everyone's following this journey. You know that it's a narrative that you couldn't possibly just sort of pick and choose. You have to be following the journey. But
by the way, quick side note: this is the 30th one we've done.
Oh,
I think,
wow.
So
that's I knew I'd get
high
some
number
milestone in there.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Then I found Saigo. So it was, I don't know. It was probably in the spring for sure.
Yeah.
One of the things that I was definitely impressed by was I think I did tweet about it or something, and then bang.
You got some favorites and some replies, maybe.
Here's Ryan, getting in touch, and which is great, and it's good, smart, I definitely, I was attracted to, not only sort of learning about new stuff, which is like my whole job, but wow, here's a place like where it's happening, but right, that just clearly there was a good vibe, in the conversation, being able to, sort of. At least, obviously, initially, just sort of kind of follow along.
Yeah.
Was cool, and then basically, was hooked after that. So
awesome.
And then I'm lucky enough to be here now. So
yeah. This might be a hard question, but is there one particular product that stands out that you've found on Product Hunt that you use or thought was most interesting?
Yeah, sure. I mean, this is sort of a bit niche, but I have been of the things that I've tried and like that have probably stuck, it has been like fitness related apps. I get into my gym obsession, but I do like go to the gym but I'm also like someone who like right, that is like my time. I don't want to like socialize with anybody. Yeah. I don't want to train.
I put my headphones on. Half the time they're not even on when I'm in the gym. I'm like zoning out. It's my way of saying don't talk to me, please.
And so basically, a couple of these kind of like sort of personal trainer apps, Swerkit and Power 20, like I've downloaded both and used both, definitely like a couple times a week, to kind of be my workout. And then also a Nudge, which is, like one of, sort of to track you know, it's just a very, I think, kind of simple, and I like the UI.
I haven't played with that.
It
pulled up now.
You know, so like you just, instead of like having to like, I mean, you're logging your food, but it's like in a very sort of, you know, just kind of loose way where you're just like, I had one protein and I had, you know, two servings of fruit. And like, you don't have to like, you know, enter in tediously, you know, I had this many Brussels sprouts. So, and yeah, so it just kind of keeps on track, and then it gives you like a nice sort of like monthly number of sort of how you're doing and, you know, sort of across the thing. You can sync it with, you know, some different apps like Runkeeper or whatever. Most of them are really running apps and I haven't used them. But yeah, so like, but I find myself like using it every day. I am just, you know, it's like it does kind of enforce in just a very simple way, like that behavior of like, oh wow, if I really kind of go nuts and I eat like, you know, like a bag of whatever, like I have to sit here and figure out like, I, you know, like when you're hitting the number till you get to like 8 or something on like sweets or whatever, you really feel bad. And
I was looking at the liter of nuts over there in the 500 Startups kitchen, and I was like, I could easily just keep chomping on these, so I'm going
to
walk away.
You have to enter like 12, you know, because you ate probably 12 servings of almonds, then you're like, huh, yeah, okay, let's see if I can kind of keep that in check.
Yeah.
So, oddly enough, like, those have, you know, have actually, you know, been kind of a cool thing that I, you know, have been, you know, been into that I never would have, you know, found in any other way.
Yeah.
So that, you know, I think that has been cool.
I'm trying to find, I can't remember the name of it, unfortunately, but there was this interesting fitness-related product that was actually, it was animated GIFs of workouts. So usually, you know, if you want, you can, you know, browse the web and you can find instructions on how to do proper push-ups or something. But this is actually visualizing it through animated GIFs, and it's in a weekly email too. So it gives you new workouts. My like known issue right now is that I go to the gym, but I do the same thing every time. I have a routine of, you know, okay, I'm going to do like chest and biceps one day, legs another day, and so on. But I never mix it up. So I need to find the name of this, but
it's
going to
be a common theme.
Yes, I'm very habitual. Very.
This morning we went to lunch.
Yeah.
And Ryan's like, should I get the same thing? Did you get the same thing?
Yes, I did. As a matter of fact. Yes. It was a Cobb salad. It was delicious. It was Ironside.
Well, there was just an article about Mark Zuckerberg wearing the same shirt.
Right. Yeah, because he talked about that. Yeah. And
Obama does it too. So you're a good company.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I had thought about that like a few years ago.
The
like,
same
gosh,
shirt.
I'm going to, like, a uniform. Like, basically, I'm going to have, I'm going to wear, like, I'm just, you know what, it's going to be this color shirt, and I'll get this kind of pant, and I'll just wear it every day, and then I don't think about it. And then it never got past the idea stage. The other one that I've just checked out that I like, and I've used it, but I haven't like had the full experience, is Reserve. Restaurant reservation. I have a reservation, you know, for next week that you know, we'll see sort of what the experience is like once I go to the restaurant. But I did recently use, you know, OpenTable with the payment, and that was pretty slick. And it was funny. It was like 3 days before Apple Pay went live, and my friend who I went to lunch with like thought I'd done it with Apple Pay because it was just so like, oh my god, like I've been in the future. Like we didn't, you know, nobody dropped a check, and like we just walked out, and it was fine, and they seemed like thrilled about it. So that, I mean, I think that idea.
Have you ever walked out of a taxi now not paying by accident?
No, although I did just yesterday have the sort of the other experience of just getting into someone's car.
Oh, yes.
That was not my car.
Not your Uber, not your Lyft.
No.
Or something.
So
yeah.
That was, I was like, wow, now I'm that guy. Fantastic.
I've been that guy too.
Because, you know, there are a lot of beige Priuses out there. And so, yes. Like, you know, you're just like, well, is this my beige Prius? Maybe.
Yeah.
And I'm only going to know until I get in the car.
And then when they say, is your name Steve? You're like, it's not, but
yeah, like,
I'm kind of in a rush.
Yeah, it wasn't even close.
So I'm Steve.
On mine. So you're like, yeah.
No, not me.
Sorry.
Yeah. I know multiple people that have just gotten, like, walked out of a taxi not paying because they just kind of were in this habit of not paying, you know, because they use Uber or Lyft all the time. And, I've done that, I think, once.
Oh.
Once.
And the other one that I actually really liked was Ping. You know, the sort of the secret.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Python,
curious.
Right, which
what you
is
think
just,
about that?
I really like it. It's just like, I don't, I mean, because there's no app, right? It's
right.
Just, I mean, there is, but the, like, I never have to think about it. I never have to open it. It just, you know, I've sort of chosen. I mean, you can go in and, like, because they add new stuff all the time, right, or whatever. But it, but just, yeah, like, every morning it's like, hey, you know what? Bring a sweater. It's going to be a little chilly, you know? Yeah. And then, like, hey, here's what's over 300, you know, upvotes on Hacker News. And, like, you know, and I never even go to Hacker News, but it's just good to, you know, to just have a sense of, like, oh, okay. And so, yeah, I think, like, that's great. I think definitely, like, people finding really clever ways to use the notification system is, you know, definitely, you know, sort of a huge thing. And, like, obviously, you know, I will not mention the two-letter, you know, app that is, you know, sort of a hallmark of any product.
We talked a lot about that one.
But, but, you know, but obviously that was, you know, sort of just anticipatory of, you know, this idea that, and I think, you know, it is a really, you know, significant idea that, you know, a lot of, you know, a lot of apps are, you know, really, like, you know, they're going to obviously have to be on your phone, but, like, you're never going to open them.
Yeah.
And they're going to still be incredibly valuable. And, you know, the people who, like, sort of get it right in terms of, you know, sort of how often to interact with you, like, are absolutely going to do really well.
Yeah. Do you use Nuzzle by chance?
Yeah, I love Nuzzle. I mean, that is, yeah, like, that, that also I discovered through, through you guys and, you know, is, like, yeah, definitely a huge part of, you know, like, I definitely, I mean, I love Twitter, and I use Twitter all the time, and, like, because I have a job, I use Facebook, but, and otherwise I probably wouldn't, and,
oh, quick side note, but, like, look at that, first on top of Nuzzle.
Yeah, no, I,
that's, the story's doing that's well. The Tristan Walker story you just mentioned, yeah.
The, it, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it just went live, I guess, last night, and this morning, right, we were on NPR, and so, you know, it's really cool, I'm very proud of the story. But yeah, Nuzzle is great. I definitely, you know, it just sort of drops. I mean, I like the conversation, but there are times where you just want to know, like, what, you know, is out there. And because,
right,
I definitely need, you know, I need to know what's going on. And the thing, too, I love, it's funny, because I actually talked to Jonathan Abrams at some point, and you know, earlier version of it, where I was like, gosh, you know, my favorite thing is that you just press on the thing and then you can save it to Pocket and like, and he's like, yeah, no one knows that's there, so we had to, like, they were at, and then they did add the, you know,
the share button,
the
arrow
over on the side to you know, such that, you know, then it's a little more overt, but I still love that they kept it in, because yeah, you just press on the story and then and bang, and so it just makes it so fast to kind of, like, plow through your feed and, like, just okay, boom boom boom, put all that stuff in my pocket, and then you know, and then, you know, catch up to it.
What I like about Nuzzle, I've been subscribed to its email for a long time before the app came out, but to your point about
email first, I guess I was probably, although I don't like it as much. I really don't.
Yeah.
You like the email?
So both the notifications and the email kind of serve the same purpose in that they surface usually just the top most shared story in my network, people I'm following. And oftentimes I won't read. I've not been reading many blogs, frankly. I probably should read more, but just been busier, so I haven't been focusing on it.
Yeah.
But what I do find valuable is that notification of just knowing that this is an article or a topic that everyone's talking about gives me just a little bit of value, and it takes me 2 seconds to glance at it.
Yeah.
So I find it useful just for that fact alone, let alone
diving into the app. I mean, like, I get the emails still, but, and again, like, I know, and, you know, like, I think the email and the web, you know, are, they're just, I don't think they're as polished as as the app. As product, but, you know, I know that, you know, I mean, you know, I mean, it's fascinating how, you know, right now there really is, you know, like, sort of this renaissance in, you know, in sort of the email newsletter. I mean, again, I think you guys use it really effectively too. And, you know, yeah, I mean, there's sort of that fight for sort of share of inbox or whatever, but it does get, you know, overwhelming. Like, I still have my Yahoo Mail account, like, more or less solely for that purpose. And, like, it's like newsletters and, like, e-commerce and, like, all that sort of flows through there, so that, like, Gmail's not so as cluttered.
You're in your first startups. If you get David's Yahoo email address,
yeah.
you know where that's going.
Yeah, if I'm signing up with the Yahoo Mail address, it just means that, you know, I'm just trying to, you know, limit the noise a little bit. But, yeah.
On that note, I'm a big Nuzzle fan as well, but do you guys use, I don't know, Is it Newsle?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I do.
So this is an email newsletter that tells me when my Facebook friends are in the news.
Oh. Yeah.
Of any sort.
Interesting.
And a lot of times the way entrepreneurs keep in touch with each other is congratulating them when they're at the press every couple months.
It's remarkable how fast it is, too. So yeah. Not only your friends, but also yourself. So yeah. I've seen articles published minutes afterwards. I get an email saying you were in Mashable or whatever. And I'm like, whoa, that's surprising.
Hey, we see the same article again.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
longer ago.
Yeah, I find it really useful. It's really simple, too.
I'm glad your networks are reading this
tomorrow. Absolutely. Have there been products on that you found that you've had to write a story about, or just anything that's inspired a story? Or,
I mean, I don't know about you guys. not yet, but that is, I mean, I think that, you know, for me, you know, it is something, right, like, I mean, to the point I'm saying a minute ago, you know, like being able to follow the, you know, sort of this trend, which, right, sort of started with the two-letter app that I want to mention, and then, you know, sort of evolved with the young man in Brooklyn whose name is five letters, I also won't say, but the, and not out of whatever, I'm just trying to be fun, and that, anyway, so, you know, I mean, I think that that, again, really, you know, does, you know, just sort of lead in a lot of interesting, you know, directions. So as much as anything, it's not, sometimes, like, I don't even necessarily have to, like, use the products, but I want to, you know, or they're just not for me, which is okay. But, you know, like, you just want to sort of see where things are going and where people are thinking. And so, you know, I definitely think part of my job is, I heard, and it's funny, I don't actually know this person, but I definitely respect him, and Adam Rogers, who's an editor at Wired, you know, sort of describe, you know, that basically, you know, kind of people find story ideas in, you know, typically like kind of two ways. You know, they either, you know, sort of out there kind of actively, you know, looking for ideas, you know, meeting people, whatever, which is obviously a really great way to do it. But then there's also kind of like the pattern matcher. And I definitely think that, you know, I'm probably more sort of in that category. And I guess if I'm recalling correctly, I think Adam also sort of put himself more in that category. Yeah. So, you know, so yeah, so I definitely feel like, right, it's as much, I mean, I enjoy just the experience of like being on Product Hunt or just reading as much as I can, and certainly at least scanning as much as I can all the time. But it is about like trying to then like make those matches and be like, wow, okay, this, what's happening in this sort of notification thing is really interesting. Mm-hmm. And then, although I didn't, you know, Om Malik is a columnist and writes for me, and, you know, he had suggested the idea, but because, you know, I sort of, you know, said, yeah, let's do it, you know, let's do it sort of right around the time that, you know, iOS 8 will be coming out, you know, because, you know, I had been sort of seeing some of these sort of things happening that were before iOS 8 that, you know, sort of signaled that there was, you know, clear sort of pent up, you know, interest in, you know, sort of not having to force people to, you know, sort of remember and click on you and fighting for the, you know, page one and all of that.
When you're kind of referring to the interactive notifications too, which are new in iOS 8, we actually, Eric and I did a video shoot earlier this morning with Forbes, and we talked about iOS 8 custom keyboards. And have you been playing with any of those?
I definitely was, you know, again, from like a story perspective, the idea of, you know, hey, here's SwiftKey, which like gets no attention, but like, you know, has been this really, you know, successful, you know, Android app. But if you are a, you know, a Apple, you know, iPhone person, you just are like, what? Yeah. And you know, I definitely, you know, they had sort of their first, you know, sort of, you know, they were very smart, I thought, in, you know, putting out a, you know, like a note-taking app, you know, before, you know, the keyboards were allowed. And, yeah, so I played with that one, and it's okay. I mean, it's not materially better than, you know, what Apple is, but in there at this point, so I tend to sort of default to that. I haven't necessarily played with others. I mean, the, you know, I don't know. I feel like, you know, it is sort of the case of, you know, sort of good enough, you know. That one is good enough that I'm interested, but it hasn't, you know, like, been so compelling. And it's so hard to, like, set it up. I mean, Apple has sort of made it...
It's terrible.
...challenging
to
actually...
It's terrible.
...you know, initiate another keyboard, and then, like, you know, I mean, I have relatively, you know, fat fingers, so it's, well, you know, like, you have, you know, like, you miss the thing, and now all of a sudden you're like, oh, man, now I'm in the wrong keyboard. So, I wish it was smoother in that way, and then, you know, and they weren't, you know, quite as... you know, well, we'll let people do it, but we're not going to make it easy for
them. Yeah. Sorry, I got really distracted when I was looking at my phone because I just got a derp. Have you heard of derp?
I have. But I don't know much about it, but so, I did just like hear about it like 2 days ago.
This is another notification-driven product, and I got a derp from my friend Perry. And so derp is the, you could describe it as a version of the app, the two-letter app we're not talking about, but with sounds. So instead of just sending someone a notification, I can actually send them a notification, but also a sound, like a custom push notification sound, which could be, you know, it could be a noise like this. Now, let me turn this up. Hold on. Got to get the full effect. Sorry, this is going to be really immature, by the way. So there's that noise.
Sure. Yeah.
You can do a goat. You can do, I don't know. Let's dig down here. We have a... I don't know what that is.
It's weird. It's like we're...
Yeah, very
like
immature.
5 days into the App Store to that name, but like with the notification layer.
Exactly. Like, yes.
Basically, the app we're talking about.
So it's incredibly dumb, but you know, this is innovation. You know.
I know. It's fine. It's not. Who said it was going to be pretty?
My name is in here. It says Ryan. That's cool. What does that mean?
What
does
Ryan.
What?
Ryan.
What?
Wow.
What is that?
How's that not?
Brian!
You're really trying to get to Brian.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny because there's no other first names in here.
Now I have to download it.
Wow. I kind of like that. That's cool. That's really creepy, too.
So is it like just sort of like what they've said? Or, I mean, you can create others or you just have to pick from
well,
the at this point?
So unless Apple changed something, unfortunately you cannot create your own. You have to actually bundle the sounds in the native app itself. But yeah, there are 100 different sounds in here from, you know, the name Ryan to fart noises to anything.
You guys, you can have that at that Ryan party that you're always talking about.
Yeah, I know. I keep every single Ryan I come across, they're like, so, that Ryan party, is that going to happen? Ryan Block, if you're listening, come on, man, get together.
Yeah. He's podcasting again. You guys can do the, right, you both can podcast.
That's right.
From the Ryan party.
Yeah.
And
the Ryan
and
podcast.
You know, and to get derp in the mix. Maybe they can sponsor it. I'm sure.
I love it. Yeah. Ryanair can be the sponsor, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they
fly people around the world to join the Ryan party.
I mean, are they,
can see it happening.
Are they not like the most unfriendly?
I don't know.
Isn't Ryanair the one that's like, you accidentally, you know, Your arm is, you know, whatever, quarter inch over the armrest. That'll be $15.
Yeah, I think so. But we'll take any sponsors we can get. No.
Yeah, fair enough.
Cool. This is derp app is just ridiculous. I'm turning my phone off.
You sold me. So
yeah. Ryan kind of does it.
What were we talking about before derp?
Sorry, I totally derailed the conversation. I have no idea.
No earthly app.
Have you, what's, I don't know if you can say, but what's the most kind of ridiculous app that you've been pitched before?
Oh, boy.
Without being disrespectful to anyone too much.
I mean, I don't care. I get plenty of dumb pitches. Like, we can go, let's go to my email. But it's apps. I mean, I think the thing that, like, I can't believe people still do is the, getting the, about to launch the Kickstarter. It's not 2012, dude. I don't care about your Kickstarter. So, I mean, good luck. But, you know, I'm not, like, not going to write about it. I can't believe that people still, I like Kickstarter a lot, but, but I'm not, I don't think every Kickstarter, merits, sort of its own thing in that way. But, I don't know. That's a good question. What's the dumbest app? I'll admit, I don't know, but I definitely get plenty of dumb bitches. Don't worry.
You've intentionally forgotten them.
Yeah. Maybe I try to block it out. I mean, it is. Yeah. It's just for my own sanity. I have to.
What, as an entrepreneur, or, all the entrepreneurs listening who want to be covered in something like Fast Company, what's something they should keep in mind when pitching to you? What should they do and what should they not do?
Sure. Well, I think, in general, it is, certainly a situation where, I think just, reaching out and kind of introducing yourself and, just wanting... I mean, the thing for me that I like the most is definitely... if I'm interested, I just, hey, yeah, let's meet or let's, I'm happy to, I think that's the best way, obviously to, just develop a relationship and not necessarily sort of try to force it. I think that's where people, you know, go wrong. And I mean, we literally, it's larger company. It's actually a, it's not a tech company. It's, I guess it is tech company. It's like automotive tech. Mm-hmm. That, like we just, we were talking about them for, a thing. We might, still do something, but like they refused to let us talk to, like basically anyone at the company unless we like promise them the cover. And I'm just like, seriously? And so, I think sometimes people just have, like they're just not operating, in, a reality-based environment when it comes to sort of what, what's going to happen and what coverage they might get. And, in general, I do think it's like, you got to kind of play the long game and just be, I know, like, you feel like, oh, I got to get coverage for my thing and, whatever to get some traction.
Well, even if you met them, you didn't cover them, that's still good for them. Like, it goes back to building relationships. I've met with reporters, and again, the pattern matching, I sort of want to see that,
and then, a lot of times when I do meet someone, then you sort of see, like, oh, okay, I could see where this might work for something. And, but yeah, so in general, I would say, like, be patient, like, only really, I definitely think, and this is hard, for people, and I'll admit, you guys are okay at it, but could be maybe a little better, is, that less is more, that, like, sometimes... it's not that I'm not interested in like what's going on, but I don't necessarily need to know everything that's going on. I'm not going to probably cover everything that's going on, but so I think sometimes when people are like, hey, I'm only going to reach out when I really have something special, which again is hard and takes a lot of discipline and to sort of really understand what does represent like something meaningful, then that I think also sort of goes a long way. But yeah, I mean, it's, I think for new ideas and new companies, I mean, you do have to sort of reach a certain, I mean, there are definitely opportunities, digital, and there's some opportunities in print, but, you have to, it certainly helps, and again, I know it's hard, to be like, oh, you should totally understand my magazine and every detail of it, and I don't, really expect that, but I do, at least expect, like, kind of a baseline understanding of, either, sort of what we do or where you might fit, and... and I think that if, again, to your point about, like, starting a relationship, any effort to show that, like, you've put a little, effort into it, does go a long way in the same way that, like, when I, if I meet someone, like, if I have, actually had the presence of mind to prepare, and have thought about it, I'm not just going to wing it, then, like, people tend to notice, and then they tell you better stuff, because, like, oh, wow, they seem genuinely interested, and they thought about it, and so that does, I think, I mean, it takes time, and requires, focus, and you have to sort of say, like, well, who, what I really want to, whatever, and, as I said before, I mean, you did reach out to me directly, and maybe not everybody, either, wants to do that, or, feels comfortable doing that, but, it does definitely, I mean, I am, I do get a lot of, pitches from PR people, and, and there's some PR people who are great, and there are many who are terrible, and so I do hear directly from, like, a founder, and it's just sort of very kind of simple, and again, not, sort of too overweening or whatever, then, that definitely resonates with me, and I like to, I like to, meet, entrepreneurs and talk to people and hear their stories, and so, like, you can sort of break through, doing it yourself, again, if you're, I think definitely just kind of, if you try not to come on too strong.
I mean, this is kind of maybe similar advice that I tell founders when they're on Product Hunt, is that speak like a human. Don't go in there in the comments and start copying and pasting your press release. Like, just talk like you normally would, and also be succinct and don't be, like, overly verbose. And same kind of advice I would give to anyone, like, pitching someone or trying to get some coverage.
Because, like, what, like, what happens sometimes, which is bad, is, someone sends you, whatever, it's like three paragraphs, it's already a lot. And, about their thing, actually, let's say I do actually read it and I respond. I'm like, yeah, you know what? I appreciate it. I'm happy to know this exists, but I'm fine. No thanks. Or it's not a great fit. And then they send you back a email with like seven paragraphs. It's like, basically sort of, well, here's why you're wrong. And it's like, that's not, you're not helping. And you know, to the point where it does feel like you're just sort of escalating into that, like, you know, sort of, I said good day, sir.
You watched
well, it's like Willy Wonka. And I mean, it's probably been ripped on since.
No,
the original, you know, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Was it? Okay,
where that's from.
Is, now I'm dating myself, because I what's his name, stand-up comedian, was joking about that on Twitter. I watched on Netflix. What's the guy that always gets high?
Doug Benson?
Yes, Doug Benson.
Yeah, I'm a big Doug Benson fan.
Yes.
Not a hothead, but I am a Doug Benson fan.
Yeah, and of course, Doug Benson uses that line exactly, and I watched it literally 2 days ago, so that's so hilarious.
Yeah, he just has a special. Yeah.
You and I say good day, sir. What
was the context?
Well, the context was he would... People would tweet at him, and he would respond the first time, and then he would say, good day, sir, at the very end, which would be kind of like... You'd imply that, okay, this conversation is over.
Yeah, that's very much. That's not implying. It's saying that the conversation is over.
Yeah, and then people would tweet at him again, and he would just, in all caps, I said good day, sir. I should do that. That'd be fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's bad. But so I find that, right, like, you want to reply sometimes, and again, I think, like, the whole, like, hey, let's send you the follow-up email to the email.
Yeah.
And sometimes that works, because it is like, hey, you know what, like, I saw it, and I was interested, but then I was too busy to respond at that point, and then I forgot about it because, like, 50 other emails buried it, and then, you know, so sometimes it is helpful if they whatever. I think it's very much, again, like, in the way that, you know, it's done, you know, because there are definitely people who are like, you send the email and then, like, and not founders, but there's more PR people, but, you know, and then, like, 18 minutes later, there's like the follow-up phone call. I'm barely, you know, I have other things I might be doing. You know, like, really, you know. And so like, that stuff just drives me nuts. You know, I do, sadly, you know, right, tend to try to engage and be like, hey, I'm going to be like a one person trying to, you know, sort of correct all these mistakes, which is, you know,
not your job,
real fool's errand. But but that's fine.
Cool.
I'm totally cool with that.
Cool. I'm glad you made it over here to San Francisco.
Yeah, no, this is awesome. I don't get to come out here that much, more or less once, twice a year, but you know, having fun, meeting cool companies, and awesome to be with you guys.
Is there anything you want to mention that you guys are working on at Fast Company, or?
Well, just, you know, check out fastcompany.com, you know, you know, that's definitely what I, you know, would recommend, and, I mean, obviously, please feel free to buy a physical copy of the magazine if you'd like, as a, you know.
There's something still really
paper and,
yeah.
You know, really nice about that. Nice
physical presentation. Because I think that is, you know, if you're going to survive nowadays, you have to, I mean, obviously this applies to everything, but certainly in, you know, in print, like, you really, yeah, you have to deliver something that feels special and it's distinctive. So, like, we do, you know, have better paper stock and it's a little larger format. And, you know, we put a lot of effort into, you know, the photography and the design so that, you know, it you know, it does feel special. But, yeah, you also can read it on the website, and I'm happy to have you do that as well. But yeah, I mean, that's all I would say. Just check out our stuff over there.
Who are three comedians people should watch?
Three.
Let's see. I like Hannibal Buress. Hannibal Buress is really funny.
Oh, he's hilarious. Yes.
And I like Jen Kirkman. She's really cool. And she also has a podcast called I Seem Fun. And who else am I really into right now? You know, I'm Eddie Pepitone. Eddie Pepitone's really funny. I like his sort of kind of angry rants. So, you may have noticed I have slight temper.
I'm a fan of angry rants. Speaking,
so they're pretty.
You listen to Mark Maron's podcast at all?
I was in really early on Maron's podcast, and then I kind of got burnt out on it, about after, like, 225 episodes.
Like five.
So, I mean, I went pretty far, but it is, over five. I mean, so I sort of, it's now, like, guest-dependent, so if there's somebody I really want to hear, I listen to it, and I enjoy it, but I just, like, now that he's sort of gotten through, like, I definitely was sort of in heavy in his sort of, like, oh, I'm going to have on all the people who, like, I was horrible to at some point in time in the last 25 years, and, like, sort of try to come to some kind of, rapprochement. And so, I hope that's the first time that works in you share.
Word of the day.
And, but then as he started, when I was like actors and musicians and just felt a little more typical, I got kind of bored with it. But yeah, I mean, it's a good podcast.
Cool. Well, thanks for coming on.
No, thank you. It's fun.
Thanks.